Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I am Liverpool's number one, Zach Gibson. This man is James Drake. Together we are grizzled young veterans. And today is our privilege to announce the arrival of Burning Heart Pro Wrestling, a new international wrestling promotion run by a committee of top international wrestlers. It is my pleasure to announce that the Fair Show in Burning Heart Pro Wrestling will take place in my hometown on the 21st of June at the Liverpool Olympia. A venue rich in history that has seen its fair share of blood, sweat and tears in a city with unrivaled heart. What better place for a company called Burning Heart to show the world exactly what they are about? Pro wrestling from the heart. Get your tickets this Monday at 10 a.m. GMT at burningheartprowrestling.com. This is the first time we've been back in Liverpool in over 5 years. So you know that we're bringing our best and you know that we're coming for a fight. So remember this, June 21st, Liverpool Olympia. When you see the GYV coming, grit your teeth.
Burning Heart Pro Wrestling, the brainchild of my guests today, coming very soon. Liverpool Olympia on the 21st of June, Wolverhampton Astoria on the 22nd, and Swansea Patti Pavilion on the 23rd. It is the new wrestling project by Liverpool's number one, Zach Gibson and James Drake, the grizzled young veterans who are with me today. How are we both doing?
Yeah, not bad at all, mate. Not bad at all. That's a good intro. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Enjoyed that. Is that first time? First time you've done that?
First time I've done that particular intro, yes. I might keep it for another day. But first things first, thoughts on the new Liverpool kit?
Do you know what? All my friends have been sending me it today, but because we're so swamped with a load of stuff, I haven't even seen it. How terrible is that?
Well, you know what? Why don't you have a look at it now, and I want first reaction to the Liverpool kit.
I was about to
kit,
say, I am actually... Liverpool kit. I am actually just looking at it right now. I'm loading it off as you were saying that. So, oh, no, there we go. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's all right.
A few of my mates didn't like it. I don't know why. That's smart. Big Verge there, looking smart. He's got his nice little coat on. He's doing it justice. No, I got no complaints there.
It's all right. It's got a nice retro vibe.
It's a bit weird, the neck. I don't know. But no, I like it.
James, have you got a chance to have a look at it?
No, I'm just having a look now. Give me 2 seconds.
This is what we're here for. First reaction to the new Liverpool kit. There is some wrestling in there as well, but mainly the Liverpool reaction.
So yeah, the first episode, I did really like it because I like that retro neck. And now on a second look, I don't know how I feel about that neckline. It's a bit odd.
Oh,
I think like
it's not comfortable,
does it? It's not comfortable. It looks like. I don't know. You know when the new things come in, like everyone had V-necks at one point and then everyone was wearing them and then everyone realized, oh, hang on, we don't look good with that. Let's just not wear it anymore. It looks like that. It looks like something, like a new trend that will probably get phased out within a year.
They're trying something a little bit different.
Oh, well, anyway, if that's the least of our problems next season, I'll be a happy man. So. If that's all we're talking about by the end of next season, then that's a success.
But in terms of during the off season for football, we've got the Burning Heart Tour, the Olympia on the 21st of June. I looked this up, Zach. I believe it'll be almost 9 years to the day when you had your first match in the Olympia. You've obviously wrestled before then, but your first match in the Olympia took place for NGW about 9 years almost to the day. What would that Zach Gibson make of the career that you've had up until now?
I think he'd be relatively pleased. Yeah. I think as I do this, host this interview from my house in Florida, I think he'd say it's gone all right. Now, people ask us this all the time, actually, and it's a lot of people when they're talking about getting into the job themselves, or young aspiring wrestlers say like, "Oh well, if you could have told yourself when you were young, do you reckon you would have achieved this?" I always tend to go on record of saying, actually, yes, young me would have said I would be here, because young me had confidence. That's not to say that I was arrogant or cocky in any way, but like, wrestling revolves so much around personality and confidence and how you hold yourself. I don't really want to watch wrestlers with no confidence. I think young wrestlers need confidence, and you need to wish things into existence and hold yourself to a certain standard, and that's ultimately what drives the people. So like, we're now here rubbing shoulders with a couple of Brits that started around the same time as us. People like Mark Andrews started in a completely different part of the country, but within weeks of when we started. It's really strange. But I also think if you would have asked him when he was young, do you think you're going to end up wrestling all over the world? He would have said, yep, because there's no other option. You would have asked Pete Dunne, do you think you're going to wrestle all over the world? He would have said, absolutely, because there's no other option. And then that's why we're all here. So he definitely, young me would probably be happy with what we've achieved, but he'd also, it was always the plan. It was the only plan I've ever had.
Was that the same with you, James? Because, I mean, on a similar note, it'll be 10 years next year that you guys first started teaming up as the GYV. And was the plan always, you know, looking back on what young James Drake would have made of where you've come, what would he have to say about it all?
So, I don't think, you know, step by step, I would have, you know, pictured this. You know what I mean? Like, the idea of an NXT or an NXT UK. NXT wasn't even a thing when I started, so... that was, you know, but the idea of being a world-traveled professional wrestler, wrestling full-time, that was definitely, you know, my go-to, you know, path. And then when I started, it was like 12, 13. I didn't really have many thoughts up in here. all I did was pretty much crack on, essentially. And like every weekend, it was like, without question, I would travel, you know, an hour to Morecambe to train, and then an hour back home. That just wouldn't even be like, the grind or whatever, or like hard work. It would be something I'd want to do. And same for like traveling to other places and really just trying to gain as much knowledge as possible. It never was hard work for me because it was something I wanted to pursue. And I think at the end was, no matter what, if I've given everything to wrestling, then I would know what the outcome is a genuine outcome because of how much I put into it.
You say that it was 10 years since we first tagged as GYV. That's probably the first time we branded ourselves in that way. But we have been tagging for on and off for, you know, the full 18 years that we've been doing this. So those same conversations of like where we want to go, we were having those conversations 17, 18 years ago whilst we were both driving up and down the country to go and do shows for Brian Dixon. In little holiday camps hidden away in different corners of the country. So these conversations have been happening for a long time. It's also quite nice at moments like this to look back on them and be like, we weren't just talking shit after all.
But Zach, how did you manage to pry JD Sassoon away from the Blackpool Blondes? Because that was a partnership for life there. How did it come to be that you guys went, obviously you teamed up on and off and sporadically, but when was there a particular decision where you went, right, let's go all in on this?
So I don't know if there was like a particular moment. And obviously the Blackpool Blondes, that's a bond for life. Axel Rage is he stepped away from the ring. I never replaced anyone. But no, it was, to be fair, we've been doing it in certain promotions on and off. But Progress were the first people to put us together and sort of take it a little bit more seriously, for lack of a better term. They were the first people to put us together and say, we want this to be a big part of the show. Do with that as you will. And again, we could have just done it as like, this is just something we're doing for the next couple of weeks. But again, because we know each other so well, because we always like to fully commit to whatever role it is that we're given, for better or worse. When they gave us that,
when they gave us that, we went away and we actually just said, like, right, well, how do we, if we're going to be doing this for the next little while, how do we get the most out of this? Then it took on a whole life of its own. Both of us always been huge fans of tag wrestling anyway. So we just fully committed to it. And then we just found that we'd really carved out a nice little niche for ourselves. And now that's, now if someone were to ask me, I say that I'm a tag wrestler first now. I used to be a singles wrestler first, but now our most popular act is what we're currently doing. And I would also argue that today's version, the 2024 version of it, is the best that we've been doing it at as well.
Who came up with the name?
So,
you, wasn't it?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I don't know if this is going to be a bit of a glass shatter, but we weren't the original Grizzled Young Veterans.
Da, da, da. Next you'll be telling me there was an original Nature Boy.
Well, I mean, so it was still us collectively, but there's a third member, basically. Jamie Ahmed, you probably do know him. Screwface Ahmed as well. And he's incredible. One of the most underrated guys to ever come out of this country. And me, Jamie and JD had traveled a lot together up and down these camps. So like the three of us would team depending on what the show looked like that night. You know the nature of the holiday camps. It's not set acts. It's just drop a load of names on a page and that's the show for tonight. So sometimes James and JD and Jamie would be the tag team. Sometimes me and Jamie would be the tag team. Sometimes me and JD would be the tag team. And that name kind of, the phrase itself, A Grizzled Young Vet, gets thrown around a lot. And the three of us obviously fit the bill, having started it. I started when I was 15. JD started when he was 13. We've been around the block a few times. So that was kind of our collective term. Myself and Jamie Ahmed wrestled in Europe quite a lot under the name Grizzled Young Veterans. And then because the three of us were in this sort of little, I guess, behind the scenes faction rather than in front of camera, when Progress said, we're going to put yous two together, that was just already the name that was getting sort of swirled around with the three of us. And so it did initially start as a trio, and just the way that it played out, myself and JD took the ball and ran with it.
And the rest is history, and here you both are back out there as the GYV. And that wasn't the case for a couple of years until recently. You made some waves when you did what only a handful of people have really done and voted with your feet and made plans away from WWE. Now, was there a particular moment where you decided, right, now is the time, we're ready to go, we're ready to have that conversation and look to step away?
There was a specific moment where we said it was up in the air for a long time, but then we decided just before Stand and Deliver last year that we'll tidy up the storyline at Stand and Deliver, because at that point everything's done, and then we would go and talk to the office and, you know, have conversations about us wanting to leave. Well, we did the match, and both myself and Zach were on the ramp. We're looking back at the ring. And at that point, myself anyway, that point I was like generally ready to move on now. And that was the time to just, you know, like, I know a lot of people kind of like want, I don't know. There is also, you know, things to be said, but like, we don't want like obviously dirty laundry out all the time. But like, as a whole, you know, the WWE are doing great business and it's a great place to be. For us, it wasn't a great place for us. We were kind of being optimized. Well, we were being optimized to help the younger talent get ready, because there was like an influx of brand new wrestlers, you know, from 2.0 that really didn't know anything about wrestling. With myself, Zach having a wealth of knowledge, but also, you know, we used to own a wrestling school, so we could actually like articulate things as well, not just say do this and do this because of that. It was going into detail, and you know, it was a nice compliment that they could see that in us, and they trusted us to get people essentially prepared for, you know, a main roster run. But there was, you know, on the flip side, it meant we were kind of locked in a situation where we couldn't progress, and we could see that. So we got to a point where we're still, you know, grizzled, young, we're still young, but we're only young for so long. And it was one of those times where we really had to, if it's now or never, essentially. Like, if we don't do this now, when is this happening?
Yeah, and there's multiple things that obviously it was a big decision to make. It wasn't something that was made overnight. And there was no one big thing that made us do it. It was more of a combination of a lot of things all coming together. We have been asked about this quite a lot, but rather than just delve into it again and open that tin of worms again, the easiest way that we have found to describe it, just in a nutshell, this is what it is. WWE's stock is going up and up and up, but our personal stock at the time was going down. So regardless of where their stock was going, obviously we are our own business. We looked at ourselves, we noticed that our stock was going down, so we did something about it. And now, 6 months out, our stock is going up again. So we made the right decision.
Because it's almost like people say that, oh, you're leaving as the company's on the up. But then if you're doing something that isn't the best version of you, all that's happening is that more people than ever are seeing a smaller version of you.
Yeah.
Yep. So,
which yep. leads to that. Did they ever, and we'll move on from this, but I am intrigued. Did they ever kind of give a reason why they deviated from GYV? Because it was clearly popular and it was
without going into too much.
Yeah.
But it's more to say, again, the easiest way to say it, sort of in a nutshell, is look at the bigger picture at the time when this was happening to us, because it wasn't as simple as we're going to do this new thing. It was whole regimes changing at that time. So, yeah, again, if you just like zoom out just a little bit from when these changes were happening to myself and James, it was NXT changing to 2.0. It was the chaos of the competition with AEW. It was management at the highest level that hasn't changed for the past God knows how long, suddenly being completely overhauled. So teams of people 30, 40 deep were getting fired overnight. And then an entire new team was in the next day that we walk into the work and they say, okay, well, this new team sees this direction as opposed to this one. So we're going to do this to make them happy. And then you start making those changes because you have to. And then you come in the next week, there's a new team again. And now this team have said, actually, we're going to go in this direction. And so then it morphs into one way. And then when it finally settled, or it started to settle, we just found ourselves back in a position with where we should have just been GYV, but now we weren't. But now we can't take a step backwards. It was just very, very muddy. And it just left us just stuck in limbo, basically just doing this act that we didn't think was going anywhere. I think everyone else that was watching could see that it wasn't going anywhere. I know social media isn't the be all and end all, but it is an indicator that we do, Joe. It is a viable indicator of what people are thinking. Not the be all and end all, but it is an indicator. And not once did we get messages saying like, this is the one, this is the thing that these guys should be doing. So again, we didn't make our entire decision based on social media. That would be stupid. We made it on a number of different factors coming in. But again, when we made that decision to come out, we haven't met anyone yet that's been like, wow, well, these guys made a mistake. Because again, our stock is going up. That is all that we necessarily need to care about at this moment. When we work for a company, we do our best to make them money. But the ultimate goal, as it should be for anyone, is to make their own business entity money as well. And our stock was going down, now it's going up. We did the right thing.
Now, the best way to describe it is you left and you grabbed the indie scene by the scruff of the neck, because it just felt like overnight you were in these high profile places. There were massive ovations as you turn up as surprises across the US and across the UK as well. There were promos out the wazoo from both of you getting you there. And this is your first time back on the indies since you both joined NXT, and that and the UK scene has this regenerative pattern where as people leave it and head states and join WWE, new people come in. So how different was the independent scene that you now rejoined compared to the one that you left?
The UK scene's just, there's a lot of the same, but then there's a lot that's very different. I'm elephant in the room, a lot of top talent. I mean, top talent left, you know, the UK scene that were bringing in houses. I do see that, like, on the, I always used to hear this, like, you know, how a load of top talent in the UK left the scene and it's kind of like really struggled. And I was like, it's all very dramatic. But then when we came back to the scene, I did see that. I did see there was like a big gap in the market for like I don't know. Not, and so it's not like for everyone this, and I don't mean it for everyone, because I can list off a load of people that take it so seriously and want to kind of work outside the box, essentially, and really push the boundaries that, you know, for example, like, you know, British Strong Style did, we did, Mark Andrews did. I can see a lot of people trying to do that. But at the same time, I can see a lot of people that really just kind of treat it as a weekend thing. And I would love more people on the UK scene to really, like, it happened before, it can happen again. We just need to make sure, like, more people can really push the boundaries. And I do think that's something that, like, you know, Burning Heart Pro is, well, it's one of the things we're really trying to do. We're trying to, like, essentially grab, you know, the UK scene by the neck, essentially, and, you know, reawaken things that were kind of, like, dormant, that, like, people have not moved on. There's a lot of people that are very passionate about professional wrestling. I mean, if you look at, you've got All In, Wembley, you've got Clash of the Castle. Like, these people don't get flown in. They're already living there. There's a huge wrestling scene. We just need more and more UK promotions to really, like, think beyond what they're doing at the moment and trying to capitalize on that. You know, you can see, like, Rev Pro are doing, like, the big show now with on the day before All In. And that's like a huge project to take on board. But it's not just because they want to do it. It's because they want to try and expand the brand and expand the scene. So I do see the UK scene in a rebuilding situation right now. I do think a lot of it is on the way up. I just hope that more and more talent can see the possibilities that are in front of them and can also try and, like, push forward as well.
I will say on that note as well, if you look at, like, 2005, 2006, when we all started anyway, the British scene was dire then. So it's not like, some people think, like, oh, when it dropped off that huge boom period that we did have, like, oh, there's no coming back. I'm like, we'll be there before it started booming. It definitely can come back, because that thing started from nothing. And it was just a load of hungry talent coming up and getting it done. And when you talk about, like, how different was it when we came back, it is good to see some people, like someone like a Luke Jacobs, for example, who just came. He was obviously training with us just before we left, and we always knew there was something special about him. But then having been then left to his own devices, and he was one that saw those gaps on the big shows and didn't ask for permission. He just went and took them himself. And now he stands out as one of the absolute top indie guys anywhere in the world. Those spots are available on UK shows, and only the hungriest are going to go and take them. Luke is evidence right there in the flesh that anyone, I mean, he's obviously phenomenally talented, but I just mean, like, no one did that for him. He saw the gaps on the shows. He stepped up and he took the spot. And there's plenty of those spots now. And this is how wrestling's always been. A couple of people would like to sort of point out the negatives and things and be like, oh, this wrestler or that wrestler has left us. It's like, that's the story of any professional sport. This is just the cycle that it follows. You know, the goal is always for these talents to make money and to go and do that. And when they move on, that opens up a new spot. We shouldn't be, like, blaming the guy for moving on. We should be looking at who's going to be the next person to step up. And when you focus in that way, you end up focusing on people like Luke Jacobs, and, like, what a success story that is. And somewhere down the line, he's going to get offered a contract because he's incredible. And when he moves on to that contract, we don't need to complain about that. We need to be happy for him and then look at who's coming up next, who's going to be the next guy.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Part of this almost sort of road to redemption that you both have been on to go, look, we've voted with our feet, we're doing our thing, we're going everywhere. You had an incredible spin in TNA against ABC, a phenomenal couple of matches there. And you just randomly, just because, you know, why not? Let's tick that one off. Just popped up on Collision. Just did that. Oh, here we are. We'll do AEW while we're here. I think the one thing that a lot of people talked about, and I know as funny, we've talked about how Twitter isn't the be all and end all, but you had that match with the Acclaimed on Collision, and the general consensus was, hang on, GYV should have won. When you see stuff like that, when you see the love that you guys have had going in against a built AEW team, that must feel good. And it must surely start conversations about you doing a little bit more with them.
Yeah, so that's something that one of the things is obviously us deciding to leave WWE. It's not us leaving WWE and then going like, well, we'll see what happens. It's us, you know, actually pushing forward and going like, right, we want to be everywhere. So we made it work with TNA. Now we're, you know, we did AEW. And then it's pretty much, we want to make sure, like, when you think of us, you don't think of us as a former so-and-so. You think of us as our own entity, our own brand, and like look at like the decorated career that we'll have. We had a great time there. Great conversations with Tony. Like the one thing that I love about that place is it celebrates wrestling. So first and foremost, it celebrates wrestling. If you can go, you will get your roses. You know what I mean? That's kind of it. And that's literally something that me and Zach have really prided ourselves on for a very long time. Like, I am 5'10 on a good day. I could probably get wider, but I'm not going to get taller. And I really, really hate how for a very long time in wrestling, something as, you know, silly as your height can dictate your future. You know, it's very silly when you can think about the bigger picture, when you look at someone like, they'll dictate that on a lot of people in wrestling for years, but then like, you know, oh, but Shawn Michaels or oh, but Daniel Bryan, or, you know, you let them shine with their ability. And there's so much more out there that like, they are just so talented in the world that they're wrestlers. They're not models. They're not trying to be these like superhuman, like Marvel looking characters. But, you know, shows like a TNA or shows like an AEW, people tune in to watch your craft. And then they decide, right, do we like them? Do we not like them? And it's purely based on your craft. And that's something that is it's very refreshing, to say the least.
Yeah, obviously, when we came out, we said that we wanted to be everywhere. We wanted to work with all of the best talents that are out there. And you can't go on record of saying that and then not end up at least trying to do work with the AEW tag division, because that division is stacked. There's rumors of other people coming in, but regardless of looking at who potentially could be in, just look at the actual active division right now, with like Acclaimed, FTR, Young Bucks. The list just goes on and on and on, and it's just top tier tag team wrestling who are given time to shine and actually show out and do proper tag team wrestling on TV with some real purpose. So it's just such an exciting place to get a foot in the door. So yeah, that was just there. We were both buzzing to be there. The Acclaimed are great opponents for us. Crowd was hot on the night. Crowd was hot on the internet, kind of reacting to everything. So Everything's coming up Milhouse.
And when it comes to that mindset, that ethos of we want to be everywhere, we want to go everywhere, the other thing that you're doing is basically creating more everywhere. So we have to start talking about Burning Heart Pro Wrestling some more. So when did the conversation start about you guys creating your own wrestling promotion?
So these conversations have been had for years, and for years down the line in certain different ways, and then sort of intensified over the last couple of months. One of the other things that we will have to say, you know, is it's not just mine and James's brand, because that's one thing that got there. Obviously, we did the initial promo, and then our inboxes just got swamped, as they do. And like, I don't begrudge anyone for messaging, right? Like, we're wearing two hats at the moment, so we are in that hustle. Pushing our tag team and pushing our careers on one side. And then we've just started wearing this new hat, working with Ben and Hart. And now we're getting messages from people trying to hustle. And we're like, oh my God, leave us alone. But it's all part of it. We can't ever begrudge someone for that. But these conversations, like, you've seen the sort of company line that was put out, that it's run by a committee of top internationals. So the main guys behind the scenes there is... there's a fella called Ricky Shane Page, who a lot of people will know. He's another driving force behind this. There's a fella called George. I only know him as the Iceman. So yeah. On Company's House, that's what's going to have to list. Isn't it? But it goes even beyond that, because there's so many people who are invested in this project. Some people are financially invested, other people are just emotionally invested. But what that's created is just a full team of people who are just bouncing ideas, making suggestions, people who are passionate about it, like I say, who have no financial input whatsoever, but just want to see it succeed. And so are coming in being like, well, I can do this favor for you, or I can call in this thing for you, or how about we do this? This would be great for publicity. So it's great to see. It's rewarding for us to know how many people trust us. For how many people have messaged us and said, like, now that I know that your name has been attached to it, I want to be a part of it. Same things happened to Ricky Shane Page. He has so much good faith over in the States, because everyone backstage loves him, that so many people reach out and say, if you're involved, I need to be involved. And it's that's the kind of project, like, that is the feel of this thing. We want it to actually be like pro wrestling, sort of ran by the people who have all had good and bad experiences, so that we can all rely on them and say, like, well, when this happened to me, I liked it, so let's do more of that. When people treated me in this way backstage, I liked that, so that's how we're going to treat people when we bring them into our locker room. Or I didn't like it when they did this with my time, or when they did this with my investment, so we're not going to do that to someone else. It's years, 20 years of experience from us, 20 years of experience from Ricky Shane Page, years of experience from promoting from George. He's a Canadian, he used to run in Canada. And all of these experiences are going to make the backbone of a company that's going to treat our wrestlers and our fans right.
So when it comes to that, so just to help quell your inbox somewhat, what is the role that you guys have when it comes to Burning Heart Pro? You're part of the committee.
We are still in our infancy. That's perhaps the better way to say this. We haven't got strictly defined roles just yet. That's not an issue at this point, which is what I'm trying to get over. But I'm just saying the company is still in its infancy. So we are taking on some of the booking, but we're not the booker. We're not the head honcho. We're not the decision maker. Generally speaking, if anyone does want to reach out for bookings, or if people want to reach out with queries, the best place to go is the catch-all email address. Go through the website, and then a load of us will get passed through until it lands on the right person's desk. And then once we finally set in stone what everyone's role is, everyone will then know, because as soon as we get that hashed out, you'll see a public post of, this is what this person's role now is. This is what this person's role now is. But right now, it's just a big, all exciting cooking pot of everyone jumping in and having fun, creating an environment for wrestlers and fans alike to just get back to the thing that we all love, which is just pro wrestling done right.
You can keep up to date with what they're doing on Twitter at BurningHeartPW. The first UK tour will take in Liverpool Olympia on the 21st of June. And that's you guys versus Sanity. And this is a match that I don't believe, despite the fact you've crossed paths, I don't believe ever happened in WWE.
No, first time ever.
No, we've wrestled Damo before. I'm not looking forward to wrestling Damo again. He's big. I don't know what to do to him. I can't do anything to him. I just get hit. And Axeman's got in real good nick as well. So I don't know where I'm. I'll stay on the apron. I'll just tell you what we got.
Yeah, we're in for a good scrap. But so this one's maybe one for the fans more than it is for us. But it is a first time encounter. We've been across from Damo in the past. We've been across from Imperium in the past, but never Damo and Axeman together. And this is a match that we've been asked about a number of times by fans. So then when all the stars aligned and we have the opportunity to do it, it's just a no-brainer. It makes perfect sense. Whether this was necessarily the goal or not, the show's shaping up to be like a who's who of European talent, because a lot of the times, you know, I have promoted shows in the past, a number of years ago, and this was when I was much younger, but generally speaking, for the local advertisements in particular, you want to find some sort of talent that allows you to sneak those logos onto the poster, Joe, when you're trying to get people through the front door. You'd see it a lot of the time. There'd be one talent on there who's kind of done it all, and it says like talent as featured on WWE, TNA, blah, 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 and then the rest of the show is in the backdrop. What we've ran into here is almost every talent on this show ticks all of those boxes. It's just such a wild time to be promoting this show and to look at the roster that we have available to us and go like, this is a world-class roster that you could put on any show anywhere in the world. You put Damo on the show and you go, okay, well, he's been at WWE at the highest level. He's been at TNA. I'm pretty sure he's done some stuff with AEW. And then you go to Axeman, you go like, okay, well, there's WWE again. You come to me and James, okay, there's WWE, TNA, AEW, Mark Andrews, okay, WWE, TNA. Like, the guys have been everywhere, done everything. Ring of Honor, New Japan. This roster has been all over the world. And then we've pulled them all back to these shows in the UK on this run. So I'm just really excited. It's our first time back in Liverpool in over 5 years. So I'm excited to be in my hometown, but also to be going to my hometown as part of a show this exciting. It's just the perfect storm of everything coming together.
And if they're wearing the new kits, you can look at them knowing they don't like the collar. Liverpool Olympia on the 21st, the Astoria and Wolverhampton on the 22nd, and the Swansea Patti Pavilion on the 23rd. It's the first steps of Burning Heart Pro Wrestling, partly put together by a committee of greats, but not completely put together by, so don't pester them too much, by James Drake and Zach Gibson, the grizzled young veterans. Thanks for joining us on Cultaholic, lads.
Thank you.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.